gang. Welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio. You could hear Mark Dankoff humming in the background, I think. Mark, is that you humming in the background?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're on speakerphone. Let's just hope.
Yes, I'm going to try and during the course of our conversation, maybe get it off of speakerphone now that I can absolutely hold the thing up to my ear, but we'll keep talking in the meantime.
Okay, well, in the meantime, I'm going to say this is National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, which is RBN. Now, yesterday, I got maybe it was a couple days ago, I got an email. I only saw it yesterday, saying that John Stadtmiller was going to read statements on his show from the various hosts and to write a brief statement. And it's like, well, how brief is brief? Well, I listened to John's, show, the National Intel Report yesterday, and I was kind of embarrassed because all the other hosts wrote these really great statements, and mine just, I don't want it to sound like I phoned it in because every day I say how.
No, you phoned it in to me first. I know. No. That's a joke. That did not happen.
Yeah, I mean, I know how important it is, and every day, you all know that I start the show by saying, go to National, I'm sorry, I usually start the show by making these same mistakes, but I say go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send shekels, keep free speech alive, because it's important, and it really is that important, and I say it every day. Now, but all the other hosts had these really well-written, articulate, thoughtful statements, and I can be articulate and thoughtful, I think, sometimes, can't I? But
yeah, I think so.
But it wasn't reflected well enough, and so I want everybody to know that this is really important. This is, without RBN, you're not gonna hear me. Am I that important? I don't know, but when you add it all together with all the other hosts on RBN, all the information, the news, the analysis that you get on RBN, it's really, really important. And think about that. And really do go to republicbroadcasting.org and really do click on the donate button. And we're all American patriots. Well, some of us are. Some of us are Greek patriots or British patriots.
We have a certain number of communists who listen to this network. But anyway,
there probably are, too.
All two of them, and they both hate RBN.
That's right. So send dollars. Send dollars. Or if you're a Greek patriot, send drachma, right? They used to use the drachma. I guess they use the euro now. Last time I was in Greece, it was a drachma, and they had really awesome coins because, they had, like, Greek gods and things on their coins, whereas we've just got what do we have? Harriet Tubman? Is she on the money yet? I don't know. I don't see enough money to know.
I saw a $50 bill with Duke on it the other day. I began to get a little suspicious at the gas station.
Well, because he's a Medal of Freedom recipient, right?
Or that's right. He is a pending Medal of Freedom recipient simply for telling Jennifer Rubin of the Washington Post to get lost. That automatically qualifies him for the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yeah, well, no, I thought, didn't she nominate him? I thought, I don't know, maybe I'm confused. I also tell people, I remind people that the CoCertified app is really fun. It's awesome. You can have fun with it. You can learn all about the kosher certification industry. You can avoid it. You can avoid the kosher certification, what some people call the kosher tax. You can avoid it. And $2.99 to download the app onto your Android phone, or go to the website and you can access most of the functions for free, which is almost as good as not paying for it. That's you can do. And you can go there by going to nationalbugle.com. Now, when you go to nationalbugle.com, you're also going to see all the great headlines that Mark Dankoff puts up there. Hey, Mark. There's a headline I haven't put up yet. I don't know if you heard about it, and I know you've been busy all morning on other radio shows, but there's the AfD party in Germany, the Alternative für Deutschland, or however you pronounce it.
Yes.
And they had installed, they had, in one of the German states, I can't remember which one, they just got a new governor, or premier, or whatever you call it, the head of a German state.
Thuringia, I believe that was in Thuringia, or what, East Prussia?
Yeah, is that where it was?
I believe so.
And I guess, and he came to power, and I don't know if he was AfD, but he came to power with the support of the AfD, and Angela Merkel said that's horrible and it mustn't stand, and next thing you know, he's resigned. Is that democracy in action? What's going on there, Mark? Do you know anything about
it? Yeah, well, you have democracy in action in a situation that involves AfD in Germany, about like you have democracy in action when it comes to the Palestinians and the Gazans. Elections are great as long as the New World Order controls who wins. When you have an election where somebody gets elected that they don't like, then all of a sudden the results need to be annulled. So this is a very old game. I think this situation, RT, I believe, wrote the report I just glanced at briefly before I went on the air in regard to the AfD and this election and the fact that this guy has now apparently stepped down on the basis of Merkel's pressure. And, of course, Merkel's pressure is undoubtedly pressure for both Washington and Tel Aviv and probably from Wall Street, New York as well. So that it is what it is, and it's just another example of what we call democracy, quote unquote, which means heads I win, tails you lose, which is about like Jared Kushner's deal of the century. Mm-hmm. I was on Press Television Iran earlier today, and we were discussing very briefly this whole business of the deal of the century. And as I was explaining to them, the deal of the century obviously completely involves the continued theft of Palestinian land, the continued theft of the occupied West Bank and portions of the Jordan Valley. It already involves the theft of East Jerusalem. And what undoubtedly at some point will be the move toward the destruction of the Al-Aqsa Mosque and its replacement by this so-called Third Temple, not to mention the ongoing genocide of the Gazans and so forth and so on.
Hey, are they going to call the Third Temple Trump Tower Jerusalem?
Yeah, probably Trump Tower Jerusalem. That would be a terrific title for the Third Temple. I've already seen a commemorative coin that shows Donald Trump being portrayed, I believe, by the Israelis is Cyrus the Great. And for those of you who don't know much about the Old Testament and the history of the Achaemenid kings of ancient Persia, Cyrus the Great is the key figure to take a look at in regard to not only the Old Testament and the prefiguration of Cyrus the Great, not simply is the liberator of those who were in Babylonian exile, but you can make a compelling case, a very strong biblical case, for the fact that certain passages in Isaiah indicate that Cyrus the Great is a prefiguration of the Jewish Messiah, who is not John Hagee or Franklin Graham or Donald Trump or Jared Kushner, but of course is Jesus Christ. But nonetheless, there's a picture on this coin and with Hebrew writing of everything that Trump has done recently on behalf of the Zionist cause. And it shows him on this coin with Cyrus the Great of Persia. So it was about as moving as his appearance yesterday at the National Prayer Breakfast, where between Trump and Pence, I was looking for an airsick bag. And again, it's just going to be more of the same. But the reason that Press Television wanted to talk to me today about this whole issue of the deal of the century is that Kushner has actually had the audacity to now blame the Palestinian president for the rising violence that Israel is employing in the region. It's like, well, people don't like Israel's deal of the century. People are upset. Therefore, they're also at fault when Israel keeps the violent act going against them for being upset at all the violence already directed at them and all the land theft that has already taken place from the late 1940s on up to the present. So I was addressing this whole issue of Kushner and his so-called deal of the century, which is a complete lube job for the Palestinians. Everyone knows it. And in this particular case, I was pointing out to Press Television that this latest outrage, the so-called deal of the century, follows on the heels of the January 3rd extrajudicial assassination of General Qasem Soleimani of Iran by Donald Trump, who took personal responsibility, as did the Pentagon, in indicating that the President of the United States authorized this illegal, illegitimate, extrajudicial, premeditated assassination that was a war crime, and that if we go even farther back in the rather miserable state of American-Iranian relations, it was Trump who pulled the United States out of the P5+1 deal with Iran in terms of the nuclear issue. It was Trump who did that in breaking the American word not only to the Iranians but to the other signatories to the treaty. And then, as Ron Paul has put it quite well, Trump then proceeds, along with Steve Mnuchin, to institute draconian warlike sanctions. These are literally acts of war, individually and collectively, these economic sanctions that are being applied to the to Tehran and to the Tehran regime. So between P5+1 and then the Soleimani assassination, and now this absurd deal of the century that is not only a complete outrage in terms of the legalization of theft and murder and genocide, but you have a situation, of course, where Jared Kushner is blaming the president of, of Palestine for not going along with this deal and for quote unquote inciting violence on the part of all of these people who are understandably upset, that then causes Israel to inflict further violence on the people who are, in fact, the ones being shot at and ripped off. Right. So this is where we stand in this whole situation. And I went on to say to the Iranians today that whether you're looking at Trump as the Republican candidate in 2020, which he obviously will be, with Mike Pence as Israel's insurance policy in the number two role, or you're looking at all the machinations coming out of just the Iowa caucus alone, that to underscore the fact that the Israelis working through their shadow software and through their front people, both with Shadow and obviously with the acronym organization that oversees Shadow, you've got a situation where this is how tightly controlled the process is. And I was reminding the Iranians today on television that bad as Trump and Pence and Kushner are, along with Bolton and Pompeo, that the Democrats have a full cast of land thieves and murderers quite prepared to implement the same policies, which are only bad policies when Republican Donald Trump is doing them.
Right.
And you'll notice, as I said to the Iranians, in the impeachment of Donald Trump that recently resulted in his non-conviction, we all know that Russiagate is a joke, Ukraine Gate is a joke, the Mueller $32 million investigation on these issues resulted in absolutely nothing. But isn't it curious how when it comes to legitimate war crimes where the president could be convicted in 5 minutes in a fair trial, that the Democrats did not pursue that line in regard to criminal charges?
Honestly, there's been such a precedent for letting American presidents and American officials off the hook in terms of war crimes that,
he's just the latest. That's absolutely right.
He's just the latest. And, you know, I made the joke about Trump Tower, Jerusalem. But I don't want to get into the habit personally of vilifying Donald Trump, because I still have sympathy for Donald Trump. Even though, as imperfect as he always has been, I think he tried, and this was something I wanted to, there was a few things I wanted to talk to you about, but one was like, is it even fair to consider Donald Trump the president? Does the presidency even really still exist? I've been saying for a while that. That I think Donald Trump is not really the president. The coup d'etat has basically barred him from exercising most of the powers of the presidency. Yeah, could he sign certain executive actions? Could he fire people? He could, but even doing what little he's done, where did it get him? It got him impeachment. So he's really been hemmed in. He's been cornered. Could somebody with better acumen prevail? Yeah, but he doesn't have. He is what he is, and so I've been calling him a glorified U.S. trade representative who gets to fly work in Air Force One and live in the White House. I noticed today, Andrew Anglin, because I do read the Daily Stormer, and I, you know, a lot of people don't like Andrew Anglin because of all the horrible things he says about, you know, boomers and white women and whatnot. But I do consider him to be the modern day successor to Will Rogers, except for the business about never meeting a man he didn't like, because obviously, you know, he doesn't like, probably doesn't like blacks too much, or Hispanics, or, you know, obviously boomers and white women and the gays and, well, Jews, that goes without saying. But otherwise,
I personally can affirm a guy that hates everybody, I think there's something to be said for him. He doesn't discriminate. He hates everybody.
but I do think he's a very sharp analyst. And he was saying today that you know, not only is Trump not the president, but he was pushing this step further. Does the presidency really even still exist? Because you could say so much of what you could say about Trump, you could say about Obama. You know, Obama didn't go to war with Iran. He was under pressure. And of course, Trump hasn't gone to war with Iran, but he pressed it pretty close. And I guess that assassination could be considered an act of war. It's just that Iran,
no question about it,
didn't bite. But, you know, Obama didn't want to go to war with Syria, but he did. He was pushed into it. Obama had shaken hands with Muammar Gaddafi, but, you know, Hillary Clinton and the foreign policy establishment got him to sodomize Gaddafi with a bayonet or a dagger or whatever it was.
And with the full public approval of the Secretary of State of the United States at that time, Hillary Clinton.
So it was pretty gross. And
yes.
So we have Trump, and but he does have kind of a bully public. I don't know if he's going to be at all useful. You know, there's the question, he's appearing vindicated by the impeachment acquittal, and his approval ratings have never been higher, although they're still not very high. And the question, and I'll kick it back to you for the last minute before the break, is there any possibility that he might take this, that he might be able to leverage public support to do anything useful, maybe on immigration? He's getting to talk immigration again. Is there any chance that he might do something?
Well, I guess after the break, we'll take a look at it.
Well, we do have a minute left.
Okay, well, I'll simply say on the immigration thing, I think that remains to be seen in terms of what kind of political initiative he's going to be able to mount, given the fact, of course, that he's just coming off this impeachment process and the fact that the election is now 9 months away. But certainly on the immigration issue, it would be a winning strategy for him in terms of his own basic constituency, and to emphasize all of the political and economic aspects of this in regard to forced demographic change, and especially when that demographic change is largely being conducted illegally. So at this particular point, I think it would be a great thing for him to pursue in terms of political strategy. But thus far, not much has been accomplished on this subject, and he basically would have 9 months to get something done along those lines that would improve the situation. But okay, since he doesn't control the House and the Senate's real iffy, and you got people like Mitt Romney running around mm-hmm. there, that could blur the picture considerably.
All right, well, we'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back to the show. Those are the haunting sounds of Philbert Applebag, a great composer who has an association with this show. Anyway, so we were talking about President Trump and whether he's really the president or he's just a glorified U.S. trade representative. And I used to teach a class called the U.S. Presidency, and one of the themes was the ebbing or the waxing and waning of the powers of the president, because you had presidents like Andrew Jackson, who had a bold and expansive view of the presidency and were able to successfully wield power, and then you had presidents who came under attack and had power stripped from them. So one of Jackson's successors, John Tyler, because they were questioning whether he was really even president. He was the first vice president to ascend to office. Obviously, Lincoln grabbed a whole bunch of power that he had no business grabbing, and then the Congress reacted by stealing power back from his successor, in particular Andrew Johnson, who was impeached, and they passed a law that he couldn't fire his own cabinet members and this and that. And so it's been kind of ebbing and flowing. And when you look back at the Obama presidency and now especially the Trump presidency, how you can have black letter law saying that the president can, for reasons of national security, can ban the entry of foreigners from particular countries for, national security reasons at his own discretion. And when he issues an executive order to do so, then you've got some lower court federal judge will just say, well, the law might say you can do it, but because you're a racist, I'm not going to let you do it.
Well, and to put that into perspective, it is a matter of record. The article was in the American Conservative at the time. I don't remember who wrote that article, Daniel Larrison or someone, going back a few years. But Barack Obama's Justice Department actually argued in federal court I believe in the state of Illinois, that the president of the United States had the right to order the extrajudicial assassinations of Americans that he, the president, or she, the president, believed to be materially benefiting from terrorism or working with terrorists or under suspicion of being a perpetrator of a terrorist act yet future. So when you start talking about the whole business of habeas corpus and this whole issue of executive power and executive orders, Trump issues an executive order if it deals with immigration. He's going to run into a lot of trouble from the lower courts and also from the news media. And yet absolutely no one has questioned this outlandish opinion on the part of Obama's Justice Department that the president of the United States can order the extrajudicial assassination of Americans.
Which he did.
Yes, which he did. That's right. He has done it. It's not simply a question of arguing that he had the right to do it, but he actually did it. And
so there was a guy, he was like an imam or something from
yes,
Colorado, from Denver. He was foreign.
I think that's what the line was. Yeah.
And I forgot his name. It was an Arabic name. And he was assassinated, I think, in Yemen. And then a year or so later, his 17-year-old American-born son was drone striked in Yemen.
Yes. So there you have it. And really, when you look at this whole business of the American presidency in the totally politicized way that people in this country on occasion will say that the president does not have the authority to do A, B, or C, and in many cases they're right, but they only raise the question when it's a president from a party they don't like. When it's their own president and their own party doing these things, then all of a sudden it gets more favorable rating.
And in Trump's case, he really is a president without a party.
Yes, in a sense, I mean, you can say that. Yes,
At least he came into office as a president without a party. I guess he sold his soul to the Republicans, which is why he's been such a disappointment.
Yeah, I think you could definitely make that case. And to me, when you look at the American presidency, I'm editorializing, but I think the RBN listeners will understand where I'm coming from. I think any semblance of legitimacy in regard to the chief executive of the United States ended on November the 22nd, 1963, when John Kennedy was assassinated. I'll go on record as saying that I believe Michael Collins Piper's book, Final Judgment, is correct, that the Israeli Mossad played the leading role in the assassination of Kennedy for reasons that the book outlines. The complete text of that book, by the way, can be found for free from the Unce Review. And Ron Unce has just published something that I think everyone needs to read. And it's the laundry list of Mossad assassinations that have been conducted against Americans and American politicians and others in the name of America. And this is something that we have up on our big board. But I think when you're talking about that kind of power and the ability to engage in those kinds of criminal actions that conveniently never seem to be uncovered, much less prosecuted, that we get right back to the situation with Trump and the Zionists. Does Trump really believe in all of this Israel first stuff that he has been doing? Mm-hmm. Or in fact, has he been co-opted to do it? With the understanding that people like Kennedy, who was assassinated, Nixon, who was forced out in Watergate, and Clinton, who was compromised by Lewinsky, who was working for the Israeli Mossad.
We're about to go off the break.
So, you know, he's got all of that in his mind. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because he's pursuing their agenda, whether he's doing it willingly or not.
We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice.
After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-certified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The show, and those are the haunting sounds of Radio Pyongyang. And I don't know if the North Koreans have all these problems. I guess they have their own set of problems. But getting back to the power of the presidency, what we've been talking about is the judiciary, and you could call it the judiciary, taking powers that I'm sure the framers certainly didn't intend. They did not intend for lower court judges, for district judges to be vetoing the president. I'm sure that was not envisioned.
Yes.
But is what's been happening. And then, of course, we just saw this whole impeachment thing. So you've got the Congress, I think, really overstepping its powers. I mean, look at what the Ukraine thing at the one of the core elements of the whole Ukraine scandal was that Congress had appropriated funds to be used by the Ukrainian army to kill Russians, right? And Trump delayed the delivery or the release of those funds. And, you know, that was part of this whole crime. But you can also look, okay, so you got the judiciary, you got the legislative branch, but also the executive branch, the FBI, the Justice Department, all, you know, Rod Rosenstein, all these people attacking President Trump. So you've got but also it winds up attacking the presidency. But then also, so you could look at the power of the presidency within the government as waning. But then what about the power of the president or the government in general vis-a-vis campaign contributors, vis-a-vis Wall Street, vis-a-vis the media?
And the Federal Reserve Board.
And the Federal Reserve Board. So, and of course, we're talking about a lot of areas that do tend to have disproportional, maybe it's a big coincidence, but disproportional representation by our friends from that plucky little tribe.
Well, that's exactly right. And as we look at the whole thing, including what the tribe was doing in the Iowa Democratic Caucus, with some Israeli-linked software. We also get into all of the manipulation of news generally that involves these folks in both domestic and foreign policy. With that in mind, I just wanted to mention one thing while we are on the air, and that is that there's a new Iranian movie out there. It's called Damascus Time. I've just learned about it. It's just under 2 hours. And this movie, there's a trailer for it on Twitter. The movie actually can be accessed on YouTube, and I have put that up on our big board so people can take a look at this. It's just under 2 hours, but it deals with the real role of ISIS in Syria. It deals with the tragedy of Palmyra in Syria, and it also gives us a completely different perspective, as I am told, on General Soleimani from the one that is conveniently conveyed every night on Zionist news in the United States. So I just wanted to mention that movie, Damascus Time, and I haven't seen the thing yet. I'm going to try and watch it this weekend, but it looks substantive enough that our folks ought to be looking at it. It is in Persian, but it has English subtitles. But, you know, getting back to what we were talking about at an earlier stage of things, just look at what happened in the Iowa caucus, mm-hmm. where you had a lot of trouble with counting the votes, courtesy of a software that supposedly malfunctioned.
Yeah. Trouble reporting the votes, I guess, adding them up. I don't think there's any trouble counting them on a precinct level, right?
Yes. But all of a sudden, when Max Blumenthal of the Gray Zone came out with the real story on this, and that subsequently has been underscored by a few other people who have chipped in, we suddenly underscore that you have a software called Shadow, which was the software being employed in the Iowa Democratic caucus process. And that links up to a Zionist Jew named Seth Klarman, who in turn is linked up to Hillary Clinton and many of her people. It also involves an Israeli affiliated or at least indirectly connected group called Acronym. And when you start reading about this whole thing and this Acronym umbrella organization, all of a sudden these various players that are mentioned, first of all by Max Blumenthal at the Gray Zone, and subsequently two or three or four other major journalists have chipped in on this. It certainly one could make the argument that the Iowa Democratic Caucus vote totals and vote reporting of those totals was based on an inside fraud that would appear to have the links or the fingerprints of the DNC and the Debbie Wasserman Schultz Hillary Clinton tribal link that was involved in the sabotage of Sanders 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. So this is just how deeply this stuff runs. And when you again are looking at the one hand on Trump's activities on the P5+1 treaty and the economic sanctions that have been instituted, you have the Soleimani assassination. You've got the deal of the century. And when all these people, some of these well-meaning people on the left that I think sincerely don't like these policies, who agree with us on the right that these policies are no good, nonetheless, they seem not to want to get it when the fingerprints of the ultimate players turn up in the Iowa Democratic caucus. Or interestingly enough, the beneficiary of this is Pete Buttigieg. And Pete Buttigieg, of course, is clearly in the back pocket of the Israeli lobby. Buttigieg has backed off of his previous statements that aid to Israel would be leveraged on the basis of their treatment of the Palestinians and in regard to more civilized behavior in regard to the ultimate determination of what was going to happen with these settlements. Well, Buttigieg is now completely backed off of that. He says that Israeli aid should be given to them regardless of their behavior. And he also is the poster boy for the infiltration of cultural Marxism, a Jewish-backed cultural Marxism, into the fiber of American political life in a way that it hasn't been seen up to this point. And that you could have, not saying we will have, but you could have an openly homosexual president with his first perv there in the White House. And what would this be saying about the extent of the merger of Zionist foreign policy with the ongoing victory of cultural Marxism in virtually every institution of this country? And when you, and if Buttigieg should happen to emerge, I'm not saying he will, but if he happens to emerge as the nominee, we will go right back to this Iowa Democratic caucus. We'll go right back to Seth Klarman and Shadow. We will go back to this acronym organization. We will go back to Shadow's CEO, who's a guy named Gerald Namita. And all of these people link up to the usual folks that we know only too well, that have a disproportionate ability and influence to manipulate things their way for the tribe at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. So I once upon a time, wasn't the president considered a role model for youth, right? And maybe and I didn't Hillary Clinton run commercials where they were showing Donald Trump saying things that weren't exactly a role model, you know, saying, using obscenities, and the TV commercial had small children watching it and making faces while Donald Trump was saying things. Well, so what happens if you have like a homosexual who's gay married to some dude in the White House? Is that your, the role model you want? But and that's a rhetorical question, of course. So regarding Iowa, there are, you know, four metrics that you could use for who won Iowa. And the first one is, well, who did people vote for when they walked in? Who did they vote for? And clearly, Bernie Sanders beat Buttigieg by at least 3 percentage points. But then, of course, it's a caucus. And so if your first choice isn't viable, doesn't have 15% in your precinct, well, then those people who voted for unviable candidates in the first round have the choice of switching to a new candidate. And I guess more switched to Buttigieg than to Sanders. So the gap got closed, but still Sanders won that metric, obviously, clearly, as well. This third metric, the one that they insist on using, is not only are you voting for a president, but you're also electing people to go to the next round of the caucus, which I think is a county level. Maybe it's congressional district level, but I'm pretty sure it's a county level, where there will be more meetings, and maybe they send people to the congressional district, but ultimately they send people to a state convention, and the actual people who become delegates are selected then. And by that metric, Buttigieg was ahead like 550 to 549, something like that, with some minuscule lead. And of course, that was based probably on a lot of erroneous reporting that was manipulated by this software. But that's the one they insist on reporting. They won't report the other stuff. And then, of course, in the delegates that are going to be apportioned to the national convention, they're tied. And that doesn't seem likely to change. So what you're having is they're dragging their feet so that for several news cycles, you've got Buttigieg, the surprise winner of the Iowa caucus, even though he didn't win it. And it's going to come out eventually that, oh, well, actually, he didn't win it. But it doesn't matter. It'll be too late. So there's a tweet that Buttigieg tweeted out. I guess it was yesterday. Yesterday was Trayvon Martin's birthday. Would have been his 25th birthday. And so Mayor Pete, and there are other ruder ways of describing this guy, but they're all so gross that I'm going to bypass them. So Mayor Pete tweets out, how many 25th birthdays have been stolen from us by white supremacy? Right? The idea that white supremacists are going around murdering black children. Now, of course,
Mayor Pete does not mention the abortion industry, which he supports. E. Michael Jones has a very extensive mm-hmm. piece in Culture Wars, one of his recent issues, about Buttigieg's relationship with a leading abortionist in South Bend, Indiana.
Yeah.
So you're talking about Buttigieg.
It's not a surprise. But I just want to finish this point.
Sure.
I mean, he's talking about white supremacy. Well, Trayvon Martin. First of all, the person who shot Trayvon Martin was you know, he was half Hispanic. He didn't look white.
George
Zimmerman. He wasn't a white supremacist. And, you know, he was on this neighborhood watch, and Trayvon Martin didn't like being followed or being observed. So he confronted him. And I mean, the white supremacist Hispanic guy had a broken eye socket, as I recall. Right. I mean, so and a lot of injuries on the back of his head because Trayvon Martin was on top of him at the time, beating him up at the time he got shot. But anyway, leave Trayvon Martin aside. The fact of the matter is that there is just really widespread violence against whites from blacks. It's not as if blacks have anything to worry about if they're going through a white neighborhood.
All,
they don't.
All of the FBI crime statistics make Buttigieg look like the ass and the hind end that we all know that he is in regard to making the statement that frames this issue in terms of white supremacists in minority groups, especially African Americans. All the FBI crime statistics show beyond a shadow of a doubt that the vast percentages of violent crimes in this country are committed by blacks on whites and blacks on blacks. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that's part of the
so
tale of the tape.
Isn't the whole point of Mayor Pete and all the other people's, their statements about this white supremacy stealing the birthdays of 25-year-olds, isn't it just to incite violence against whites, incite hatred and violence against whites?
Yes, and to carry out, keeping in mind that Buttigieg, provably the Jewish Forward underscores this, Buttigieg is presently operating with more Jewish money than any other Democratic presidential contender. Mm. That could change with Bloomberg, but in terms of Buttigieg up against all of the other ones, Pete has the lion's share of the Jewish money. I think Warren came in a distant second. Now, in regard to understanding that, Buttigieg is all of a sudden pursuing the Zionist public policy line on foreign policy. Whitney Webb has the inside story in that at Mint Press News today. And then, of course, when it comes to domestic policy, Mayor Pete is framing this crime issue and this gun violence issue as if he were the press secretary of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, Handgun Control Incorporated, and the Southern Poverty Law Center, all of which flies in the face of the actual FBI crime statistics that anyone can pull up and see just how ludicrous this is in terms of all of the real stats on racial crime, in terms of who's doing it disproportionately and who the victims are disproportionately. The other thing I'd say to Buttigieg, we might ask him how many 25-year-olds have been robbed of their lives by HIV.
Exactly.
We might ask Mayor Pete what connection he sees between sodomy and intravenous drug usage and this problem with HIV. We might ask Mayor Pete what he thinks about the execution of even 9-month-old children that have been delivered outside the mother's womb. And then, of course, you know, when you really get into the question of this guy, it's quite obvious who's backing him. It's quite obvious the agenda that he would pursue if he was elected. And at the end of the day, American nationalists, I'll use that term because I think Don Wassel of the Nationalist Times nails it down. I think to use the term nationalist describes to me much better than the term conservative at this stage of my life, based upon what that latter term has come to mean in so many instances in the minds of people. But having said that, when you look at a true American nationalist and someone who understands the cancer of this Zionist element in our foreign policy and in our domestic positions, we get down to the fact that in 2020, we're going to be in a real quandary if we have Donald Trump on the one hand and butt plug in the other, or some other version of Pete as the nominee. And I suspect you underscored this better than anyone yesterday, I thought, Dr. Slattery, on your show. The wild card is Michael Bloomberg with all of his money and those March 3rd Super Tuesday primaries. Mayor Pete could be ancient history, along with Sanders and all of these other people, after the 3rd of March. We simply don't know. I haven't seen any definitive numbers on what Bloomberg's campaign can actually point to in regard to the Super Tuesday states. But with all the money he's got, if he should somehow come out of nowhere and vault into a sizable lead, and then the game would be over in the Democratic nominating process.
Right. Okay, we're going to talk more about that when we come back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The show. Wow, this hour goes by so fast. I'll try to be brief because I want to hear your response. But regarding Bloomberg, and I'm not the type of person who thinks that everything is settled in advance by people in a mysterious back room. But, you know, there are people, there isn't a Democratic Party establishment, and they do talk to each other. And to the extent there's a plan, I think the plan is that Buttigieg is going to kind of hold the fort down in these early primary states. They're going to use him, and you know you were talking about all of the manipulations via this Israel-linked software to manipulate the Iowa counting. And then I think Bloomberg will come in on Super Tuesday when there's this huge haul of delegates, and I think he's already spent $250 million on ads in all these states. And so he's probably going to be able to come in and he might be able to establish himself as the front runner there. Not necessarily, but he may well be able to. And then it's very likely you'll wind up with a Bloomberg Buttigieg ticket going against Trump and presumably Pence. I wish it was Trump and Tucker, but your thoughts?
Well, it may exactly play out that way. We simply don't know, but it's a very plausible scenario. And I have looked at some of Bloomberg's ads or even out there on YouTube when you're walking the dog at night and you're listening to some music. And before the music starts, there's Bloomberg with an ad on there before you are listening to whatever song you want to listen to. And the ads are good. They're very effective. And in this particular case, Bloomberg has two advantages. One is the amount of money behind him. Two, it's obvious that the Jewish power structure would have no trouble with a guy whose name was Bloomberg, obviously. Wall Street would love him. And thirdly, Bloomberg has the advantage of not being any of the other announced Democratic candidates.
Do you think they would really prefer a Shabbath goy to a Jew?
Yeah. Well, that's
a serious question.
Very serious question. And at this particular point, again, given the configuration of things and the early terrible number done on Tulsi Gabbard by Hillary Clinton and the lack of money in the Gabbard camp by comparison to people like Bloomberg, certainly.
Yeah. Although for an insurgent candidate, she's actually doing okay with the fundraising. And she might stick around for a while.
She might stick around for a while, but I think it's an open question. I don't think she, unless there's some parting of the Red Sea miracle, I don't think she's going to be nominated. No. I don't think Bloomberg would necessarily select her as a running mate.
Bloomberg wouldn't. Sanders, I don't know. There maybe. Bloomberg, certainly no. Absolutely no way.
No way there. Sanders, I think, would potentially consider her. And for that reason alone, I am not a Democrat, I'm not a leftist, I'm not a socialist, much less a communist. But just looking at this politically, I think a Sanders-Gabbard ticket on the foreign policy front would be extremely attractive, which is precisely why I don't think it'll happen.
Yeah, having Gabbard one feeble elderly Jewish heartbeat from the presidency.
Yeah,
I don't want to wish ill on anybody. I don't. But yes. Anyway, reality is reality. Hey, thank you so much, Mark. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
And take a look at our big board, that Iranian movie, Damascus Time. Watch that. We've got the link to the YouTube movie, which is just under 2 hours. Have some fun with that this weekend.
NationalBugle.com. That's on NationalBugle.com. And I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad. Works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.